Now, can I ask a special favor this morning? Do you know what that would be? Do you think I could get everybody to move to the front, closer to the front, about six rows? And you know, that will let the parents who have little children sit closer to the back, but you can still be closer to the front too. Come on up. Oh, you can come closer. I'll give you a special dispensation. Come on, folks. Come on. I'm waiting for you. And I'll come closer to you, too. Oh, that's great. That's good. I appreciate that. Wonderful. That is so good. I feel like I'm with you. This is good. Wonderful. That wasn't too painful, eh? Good. That's great. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. This morning. And kids, you know what I'm talking about this morning? You're just going to roll over in your pew. I'm going to talk about rest. Just something that's really on your mind, I'm sure. You know, when I was a little guy, my mom and dad had the habit of having a rest on Sunday afternoon. And being about 6 or 7 years old, that was not in the equation. And so my dad came to the place where he said, just go and play quietly in your bedroom and nobody will know. And I did, with my train. My train was my great toy. And it could occupy me for hours. So today, I'm going to talk about rest, but I'm going to try to incorporate some things for the kids that will just sort of help them. I've got to tell you something. When I was a young teenager, I used to find sermons to be a bit long, you know. And so in order to get through the sermons, there was one time in every sermon, and actually my pastor at the time was Lauren Heisey. Yes, for 4 years from the time I was about 11 to 15, something like that. And I found his sermons long, except he used to put in illustrations. And every time he put in an illustration, I was right with him. So we'll see if we can get in a few illustrations this morning, and hopefully that will be helpful. Rest is a bit of a challenging topic. We've just had Christmas. We've had all the excitement of preparing for Christmas. We've had gifts given to us. We've had time to play with our cousins and just really done it. And now, you know what? Mums and dads, they're just ready to let out the breath and have a little relaxation. But rest is not always achievable, or at least it feels like it's not achievable sometimes. Kids, you know what? Adults are not too different from kids in that adults find it easy to pursue physical goals, careers, activities. It's easy in our world to be busy. But people do long for rest, and it's a bit difficult to find. Hebrews chapter 3 talks about rest in a number of contexts, or Hebrews chapter 4, I should say, talks about rest in a few different contexts. Watch and see if you can pick up a few of them. Therefore, the writer says, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest. There's one. Just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet this work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. As you read that passage, do you find, where am I? I'm not strictly going to work through this passage this morning, but I am going to work through the scriptures to address some areas of rest that I think you're particularly interested in and that should be of interest to us. I want us to start in Genesis chapter 2. Would you go there with me? Genesis chapter 2, right back near the beginning. We've just had the account of God creating the earth. And in verse 2, it says of Genesis 2, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. I want to ask the kids a question. Why do you think God rested? Why would we rest? Because we're tired. The Bible says God never gets tired. So why did he rest? Got any ideas? That's a challenging question. As an example for us, I think that's good. And there's another reason. Do we have another reason? It's a trick question, actually, because it's so obvious I missed it. Because he'd finished his work. Is that it? He'd finished his work. Do you know when it's time to rest? When the work is finished. I find myself, maybe you find yourself like this too, that when I finish one job, I want to get on with the next job. I want the adrenaline. I want to be busy. But when God finished his work, he rested. It works in a couple of ways. Children, when you're working on homework in school or when you get home, Do you feel tired sometimes? Yeah. When I'm doing some sort of work that I don't particularly choose to do myself, I feel tired. I don't feel like keeping at it. But parents say to the kids, you're not tired. You just started. Has that conversation happened in your house? It happened to me. You're not tired. You just started. There's more to do. You need to keep at it. And then you can have a rest when you finished. God rested when he had finished his work. And rest, in that way, is understood as to stop working. When the job is finished, you stop. It's rest. And yet, if we were to turn to John 15, we won't go there, or to John chapter 5. Just write it down. There's an outline on the back of your bulletin, if you like. Jesus was healing a man beside the pool, and it was on the Sabbath that he healed the man, and he was being criticized for what he did. You shouldn't be healing on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said this to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. He didn't apologize for working on the Sabbath. He said, my Father is always at work. And so the Father created the earth and the whole universe. And it says he stopped. But thankfully, God is still at work, sustaining his universe. We call it providence. He's still at work, keeping things together. Our God is not somebody who just threw it all into the air and got it spinning, and now he leaves everything, abandons everything. That's not our God. Our God is a God who is involved with his creation. And he continues to work in it. And he continues to work in us. I want to bring another idea from Genesis chapter 1 to you about rest. And it's this. To rest is to celebrate. Now, as Puritan English, British people, you know, of the stiff upper lip, we tend not to celebrate a lot. We tend not to express our emotions a lot. I think that God celebrated creation. You remember this. You can look in Genesis chapter 1 when you go home, but you remember that each day God created something and then he said, and it is good. Right? And he created something else and it was good. Each day he said, and it was good. On the sixth day, he said it was good twice. What was he doing? I think he was doing two things. Number one, he was assessing his work. Well, we'd say his work was always good. Why did he need to assess it? I don't know, but he assessed it. Now, I think the second part of that was he was celebrating it. He was celebrating the fact that it was well done. That his work had come together the way he intended it to come together. And then on the seventh day, he stopped and he rested. It's interesting, we're going to go there in just a second, but it's interesting that in verse 2 of chapter 2 of Genesis, it says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work. I don't know what that is in Hebrew, but I know what it is in English. It's finished. And it's interesting, that word is used somewhere else in the Bible. It's very significant. This came to me as a passage that speaks to my heart. Quite a few years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, when our children had grown to the place that they got summer jobs and they wanted to stay home instead of going on holidays, Mary and I went on a holiday, camping holiday, at a fishing resort. We didn't realize it was a fishing resort when we went, but it was beautiful. We didn't fish. But we went there, and all of the people in the campground would get up about 5 o'clock in the morning, very quietly, and they would get their fishing rods and go down to the lake, get in their boats, and they'd go out and fish until about 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. And then at night, just as it was starting to get dark, they would go down and get in their boats again and go fishing again. And they wouldn't come back until about 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and they'd get into their trailer and go to sleep. It was fantastic. Like, if you want to rest, that was the place to rest. On that holiday, I had brought a book, a couple of books, which I read. I had run. We had gone swimming. I'd slept to my heart's content. But as I was getting to the end of that holiday, I found that I was still tired. I thought, what is this? If I can't be refreshed in that amount of time, there's something wrong here. You know something? That started me on a little quest of finding out how God has designed us, because I believe that God has designed us to have rest in our lives. We need time to recharge those batteries. I'm not very good at it, but I'm working at it, working at resting. And this morning I'd like us to look a little bit at different ways that God helps us to rest. And I think that one way of resting is getting things in perspective. Is the work done? Is the work done well? Do I celebrate what God has allowed me to do? Or am I constantly pushing my body and keeping my blood pressure and adrenaline levels high? Because if I am, it's not restful. It's not healthy. And I need to go there. Let me ask you this question. It's more of a question to work through than one that I'll provide an answer for, but I will provide an answer and you can talk to me about it later. How does a mother rest? Did you ever think about that? I had somebody ask me that question. How does a mother rest? How does a father rest? You could say, well, a father, he can go to work and come home. But today, actually, mothers and fathers are both going to work and coming home. How do you rest? I think it's a serious question. One that we can watch, observe in Scripture, and see what God prescribes. Just to get started, I think that when, let's use the illustration of a father going to the office. Goes to the office, he works hard all day. Just leaving the office is a sense of rest. There's a sense of rest. There's a sense of a break, getting away while you're taking the bus home or something like that, and you can decompress. A mom, if it's not a mom who is out to the office, a mom is at home, and there's not the break, at least not the same as somebody who works at the office. How does that work? And I think that is a place where we could apply some of this idea of celebrating. First of all, I think fathers, husbands, I think we have responsibility in the home that's unique in the sense that we need to make it our responsibility to help our wives celebrate, to commend them, to build them up, to give them some time where they can sit down and assess where they think things are going and where they can say, yes, this is going well. I can breathe a sigh of relief. Would that be true? I think that for a mom to rest, it has to be a teamwork approach. Now, I'm not sure that I did that too well as a husband. You ask Mary, early on in our marriage, when we had children, I would go to work during the day. I would come home late. She would have a package of children's material for me to take to church. And I would go to church and do a children's program. And she finally came to the place of saying to me, Colin, you've either got to give up a job. Either you got to stop this pace, or you may as well just go into ministry. Now, we worked through it a lot more than that. I appreciate that. But we were just going. And that's not the way to go. I wouldn't recommend it. I would encourage families, husbands and wives, to just say, how can we help each other? Maybe it's some time where we need to assess alone. So mom needs to give dad some time to assess his picture or the family picture. Dad needs to give mom time to assess her picture. There are other times when we need to come together and assess the picture together. And then celebrate. It's good to celebrate. Say, look at where God has brought us this far. We're not always pushing uphill. Let's use the momentum that he's given to us to celebrate. It's good. And then just a different perspective on sort of the same thing is that, you know, when moms do have time to rest, there is a time, there are different seasons in the lives of your children where you can rest more than at other times. And you know what? Mom, if you find yourself in one of those times, rest. Don't feel guilty. Just say, I'm going to take time today to celebrate. Celebrate by reading a book. Celebrate by going for a walk. There's all kinds of ways to celebrate, right? And take it. Take it and enjoy it. And children, I just want to encourage you. Your mom and dad, your parents, provide you times to rest. They provide you times to go out and play and share and be with other friends where you don't have responsibilities. And I just want to encourage you to say, oh, my mom and dad, they gave me time to go swimming. So now I'm going to help them. What do you really like to do? Wash the dishes? Not my favorite. Cut the grass. How can I help mom and dad? Because then we can celebrate together in the things that we have accomplished together. I want you to turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19 with me. Gospel of John is in the New Testament. And, you know, I find it easy to sort of figure out where Jesus is being, the story of Jesus' crucifixion is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But John is always, it's a different book. It's proportioned differently. But John chapter 19 is talking about Jesus on the cross. And here we see a different picture of rest. Verse 30. My I guess one of the centurions brought Jesus vinegar. And verse 30 says, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. There's that word. When God had finished creation, he rested. Here, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. We would say, in simple, plain terms, he died. Sometimes that word rest is associated with death. Mm-hmm. Jesus rested. He had finished. Why had he rested? Because he had finished his work. It's a beautiful thing. Because Jesus rested, we can know that he has finished his work. And because Jesus has rested, we can rest in him. Are we together on that? If you're talking to somebody about the gospel, and you're saying to them, you just put your trust in Jesus, and Jesus will forgive your sin, and he will give you the gift of eternal life. And what is the sort of response that people will give us in that regard when we say that? People can respond in a variety of ways, but what is a common response that people will give? What do I have to do? I don't want to presume that somebody's going to give me and I'm not going to do anything. Too simple. You can't possibly know that you're going to have eternal life. But the Bible teaches over and over and over again, very simply, very clearly, that we can have eternal life when we put our trust in Christ and in the work that he has completed. And the reason that's a beautiful thing is because if we tried our very hardest, we wouldn't be able to do enough to have eternal life. We wouldn't. But Jesus, in all he did completely. He did perfectly. And when he had died on the cross, he said, the price is paid in full. There is nothing else that is required. It is finished. And we can then trust him and rest in what he has done completely. There are some people, when they hear the gospel, they're just themselves and they just go on living the way they've always lived. There are others who work themselves to the bone so that at least they can say, I did my very best. I tried my hardest. But you know something? It's not enough. We could work ourselves to the bone from now until the day we drop dead, and it wouldn't be enough. And then there are others who find rest in Jesus because Jesus is their rest. That's how we find rest too. In Matthew chapter 11, I'd like you to turn there with me because that'll be the last passage we turn to, I think. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus has been out doing ministry in the area. And he's been criticized for his ministry. He said, you know, you aren't, you're out partying with sinners and tax collectors. Jesus said, well, when John came, he wasn't doing that, and you criticized him. Now you're criticizing me for doing this. And then he went on to, from there, to curse some unrepentant cities. He said to them, if other cities had seen the miracles that I performed in them, they would have repented a long time ago, but you have not repented of your sin. And he says, at the very end, verse 24, I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. And from there, he goes on and he says, look, those of you who are weary, those of you who have come to the place of realizing that you cannot carry this burden, come to me, and I will give you rest. Verse 27 and 28. Verse 28, I should say. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This morning, if you're here this morning and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do not know Jesus, all the other types of rest really don't matter. This is the rest that you need to find out about. This is the rest that you need to search out. This is the rest that you need to call to God for and say to Him, God, I have sinned. Forgive me for my sin. And please cause Jesus to come in and give me life and rest so that I can walk with Him. That is the rest. That is the first rest. That is the most important rest. Children, maybe you're here this morning and you just haven't come to that place where you've said, Jesus, I need you to be my Savior. Jesus, will you forgive my sin and give me new life that you have paid for? That's the most important thing you can do today. This will be the most important day of your life if you were to respond to that. And I encourage you to respond to that. Stop working for yourself. Come to Jesus. And accept the work that He has already done for you. Hebrews chapter 4 said, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from His. You want to celebrate? You want to see the work completed? Put your trust in Jesus. The work's done. The work is completed. And we'll celebrate it together. We are able to rest spiritually on that basis. But I want to, just in the last 5 minutes, I want to talk about another rest too. We are called to rest in Jesus. We are called to come to Jesus so that He would save us. Jesus continues from that day on to walk with us. And I would call it, we rest with Jesus. It's just a small thing, but I want to try to go through that. Let me put it like this. Like, what does rest look like in that context? Jesus teaches us to rest. I think in Matthew 11, that's what He's teaching us. He's teaching us to rest in two ways. To rest in Him for salvation, and to rest in Him in our daily walk with Him. You might say, well, if Jesus is doing all the work, then I don't need to do anything. I can just put up my feet and We'll just coast through this life. That'll be just fine. But it's pretty clear in the Bible that the Bible does not appreciate laziness. It doesn't condone laziness. As a church, we're called to work together in love. Jesus said to Peter, James, and John, just before, while he was in the garden, just before he went to the cross, he said, pray that you will not fall into temptation. There's a responsibility there for us to call out to the Lord when we're anticipating spiritual struggles. This passage here mentions rest in a couple of contexts, I think. And in the second half, verses 29 and 30 of Matthew 11, he says, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The picture there is of us being connected together with Jesus like two animals are connected, two oxen that are pulling a plow or a cart, and they have this yoke that's on their shoulders, it's around their neck, and they both pull together. Sometimes I think we think, oh, this Christian life, this is too hard. You know what? It's not as hard as it would be without Jesus. Jesus is walking with us day by day in this life, leading us, directing us, teaching us, strengthening us. I see it as He's pulling the main load in our daily walk. Everywhere we go, Jesus goes with us. His way is of getting a job done and resting. His work is easy. The story I want to tell the kids is one of I've got very fond memories of. Before I got married, my father and my sister and I were commuting from Ottawa to Carleton Place each day, and one night it was freezing rain on the way home. We were living off the highway about 2 miles on a gravel road, and had this little sports car that I really enjoyed. It was kind of light in the rear end. As we were going down this road, we went up on a little knoll of a hill, and then just a slight slope going down the other side. And you know, those rear wheels decided they needed to be in front of the front wheels. And so this thing started swinging like this, and I'm turning the steering wheel like this, trying to keep it on the road, but it just got off the shoulder. And that front right wheel went down in the ditch. So we were about a mile away from home at that point. We went home, put a set of chains on another car, a bigger car, went back, tied onto the car in the ditch, tried to pull it out, but we couldn't get that right rear wheel or right front wheel up onto the road. Just as we're trying to think of disconnecting the two cars, we see another car coming down the road. And you know, that's got to mean trouble. That's just got to mean trouble. Is he going to get stopped in time? And how is he going to pass us? And this and that. But you know, he stopped right at the top of the hill. And out he got of his car. And you know who he was? I don't know what his name was, but he was an Ottawa police officer. And he came down and looked at the situation and said, now, you guys get back in your cars and start pulling this car out of the ditch. And then he took his two hands and he just lifted that car, that corner of the car up, pushed it sideways onto the road. I was so happy. I was so happy. Absolutely no effort on my part. But in one shot, he just lifts it up and pushes it over. We went on our way rejoicing. We could rest. The job was done. We drove home and went nowhere the rest of that day. We rested. We celebrated. You know what? We need to do that with Jesus. And Jesus, He talks to us. He engages with us. We can call out to Him on the smallest details of our lives. But most importantly, we need to remember that our old ways of thinking without Jesus are unfruitful. They're ways that lead to frustration and ineffectiveness. And we can learn from Jesus about His ways so that we can rest in Him. How can we know what His ways are? Well, we can look at what Jesus teaches us in the Bible. We can look at the lives of people in the Bible, some who walk with Jesus and some who rebelled against Jesus, and see what's the result of their lives. Has your life changed since you met Jesus? I hope so. If it hasn't changed, then who are you trusting? Are you trusting your old ways? Or are you trusting Jesus and walking with Him? You see, the practical thing about this thing of rest in the Bible is that Jesus not only taught us about rest, He rested. And He is our rest. And that's why we can have confidence in Him. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for Your favor toward us. We're so thankful that You revealed Yourself to us in the Scriptures. We thank You that we are able to rejoice because Jesus has completed the work for us and we can rejoice with Him in eternity. I thank You for the children who are here today. I just ask that Your Spirit would bring them comfort and joy and peace in their hearts. May they know the greatness of Your love, and may they grow in You day by day. We ask in Jesus' name.